Excellent, excellent. Well, good morning and welcome. If I haven't had the chance to meet you yet, my name is Chris. I'm the lead pastor here at Hoboken Grace, and it has been an amazing weekend for us already. If you were a part of the Christmas Exchange this weekend, would you just celebrate with me? Yeah, it was truly incredible to be able to see everything that happened this past weekend and all the different ways that we were able to love and all the different ways we were able to celebrate, both through the giving and receiving, all that went on with the Christmas Exchange. If you weren't able to be a part of it, we actually have a video that we're putting together. We're going to be able to celebrate that together next weekend as we come together on Christmas Sunday. And today, as we come together, we're actually continuing a conversation that we began last week called Simply Christmas. And we're looking at how as we move to the next week, how we can make sure that the experience of Christmas isn't hijacked by the event of Christmas. Because I don't know if you've ever experienced this before, but I'm guessing that you have. I think it happens a lot where we come to January and we walk into January and we say to ourselves, we say, what just happened? And you look back on this thing called Christmas and it was a big event, but we come out of it exhausted and we come out of it wondering if we ever want to walk through it again. And we come out of it wondering what happened and why. I mean, it's supposed to be the most wonderful time of the year, but it doesn't always seem like that, does it? And how do we make sure that we experience in Christmas what God intended for us to experience that Christmas morning? How do we make sure that we actually experience the heart of Christmas in the midst of the event of Christmas? As we walk through that, I want to ask you a question, just for you to be able to kind of work through yourself as we walk through these next few weeks together. The question is just this: what do you want from Christmas? What do you want from Christmas? As you think about the event of Christmas or the experience of Christmas, what is it that you want? I'm not talking about just specifically your Christmas list, but maybe that's it. And you're just thinking through your Christmas list right now, and you're thinking, well, what I want is a new car. It's always interesting to me. It's always interesting to me, those Christmas commercials, and they start immediately. They actually start before Thanksgiving now, where this the couple, and they buy each other a car. You guys, you've seen these, right? All of us have seen these. They're everywhere. Like every other commercial is a couple buying each other a car. I've always wondered how that goes down. One, I've wondered how it happens. There's no way my wife buys a car and I don't know. I wonder, like, what is the financial situation of this couple that one person can make a decision that big and the other person has no clue? I'm thinking that's a dangerous financial situation. The second thing I'm thinking is, what do you think when your spouse buys a car and never consults you? Like if my wife were to buy me a car and I were to walk out on Christmas and she's like, here's your new Lexus, I'd be like, what did you do? It's like, welcome to debt. Merry Christmas. Like, how does that go down? I don't get it. But going back to the point, what is it that you want? One of the most important questions in life is, what do you want? So much of the tension that we experience in life is the result of what we want not lining up with what we get. And so I ask you, what is it that you want from Christmas? It's interesting, when Jesus comes on the scene, the first thing that we're told about Christmas is this. I want to take you to the story. It's found in Luke chapter 2. And the first thing that we hear proclaimed after Jesus comes on the scene actually comes from the angels. Let me take you to the story. It says, so Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the field nearby, keeping watch over their flock at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, and this is the first thing that we hear after Jesus is born, after Jesus steps into our story, after Christmas takes place, the first thing that we hear is this. He says, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." Christmas takes place, and the first thing that is proclaimed after Christmas takes place, what is this whole thing about? What is this? What's happening here? The angel steps on the scene. He goes to the shepherds. Shepherds are freaking out. And he says, "Don't be afraid." He says, "No, no, I bring you good news of great joy." This is about what? This is about joy. Guess what's just happened? What's just happened is going to bring incredible joy for all people. What just happened right now in this moment is going to bring incredible joy for all people. And in the midst of, as this Christmas story is unfolding, we're told that what you can expect, what God wanted for us to experience through Christmas is this idea of joy. No, this is about joy. This is going to bring incredible joy. And because of this, you're going to know incredible joy. And you hear it, you think, man, this is amazing. But it's interesting to me. It's interesting to me because you hear this and you hear the angels saying this. You read this and the Christmas story unfolds. And then, you know what happens? Nothing. What's really interesting to me is the angel comes out and says, "This is gonna bring incredible joy," and then, the circumstances are exactly the same. Circumstances before Christmas. Circumstances after Christmas. They're exactly the same. You know what changes with Christmas? Nothing. The physical circumstances, the situation is exactly the same before and after. And some of you are thinking, well, oh, yeah, because it doesn't change at Christmas. It changes after the resurrection. But really, if as you read through the story, even when it comes to the resurrection, the circumstances before the resurrection, the circumstances after the resurrection, they're the same. Rome's still there. There's still sickness. There's still poverty. The angel comes on the scene and says, "This is going to mean incredible joy for all men." And you know what I'm thinking the shepherds thought? They would think what you would think. Imagine if an angel showed up and said that to you today. What would you think? You would think, everything's going to change. And then nothing changed. You have to think 5 years later, those shepherds are sitting in a field saying, "Think that angel lied to us?" Did we really see it? Nothing changes. What's the joy? The circumstances before Christmas and after Christmas, except for the fact that they had a baby, but they expected that. They're exactly the same. For everyone, there is one for whom the circumstances changed. They're exactly the same for everyone but one person. This really, as I was preparing for the Christmas series, I don't think that I've fully absorbed the significance of this. Because on Christmas, there is one for whom the circumstances drastically changed. Jesus. It's interesting because the angel comes on the scene and says, joy! This is going to be an incredible joy! But the circumstances here didn't change at all. There's only one for whom the circumstances changed, and that was Jesus. And Jesus goes from glory and everything and power and control to being a baby in the midst of a broken world, in the midst of literally in a situation where he has basically nothing. The only change in circumstance is a downgrade. The only change in circumstance is not that things got better, but for Jesus, things get drastically worse. And all of a sudden, the one who had everything now has nothing. The one who had incredible power now is incredibly vulnerable. The one who had all the glory is now in the middle of nowhere. So what? What in the world is he talking about joy? And it's here that we see God once again pointing out how he's quite drastically different than we are. And him pointing out that the way that he looks at things and the way that we look at things, they don't always align. Because I think for most of us, if that angel were to appear to us and say, joy, we would think circumstances are going to change. I can't imagine how these circumstances are going to change. Because for us, if we're going to have joy, for most of us, when we think about that, we're thinking about a change in circumstance. And so maybe it's not the car that you're going to get or the house. For some of us, it is. It's like, man, if I could just get that couch. I've been thinking about that couch for a long time. If I could just get that couch, it would complete my living room. And I would experience joy every time I woke up. I connect with that. I'm with you. And you think that for others of you, it's not that. You're like, no, it's not like physical circumstances. It's just like, I would experience phenomenal joy if my boss would just retire. Or die, either one. Some of you say, no, I would experience incredible joy if my boyfriend would just finally get around to it and ask the question. For some of you, that's too personal. I noticed at the first service, people were like, whoa, that's serious. That's legit, Chris. You went. But for us, we think circumstance. We think, okay, if we're going to experience joy, then there has to be a circumstance. But Jesus steps on the scene and literally the circumstances do not change. And yet he's saying, joy! There's going to be incredible joy!
because he doesn't look at life the way that we look at life, and he doesn't see joy as something that's tied to circumstance. He sees joy as something that's tied to relationship. He sees joy as something that's tied to connection. It's tied to community. And so he actually steps out of the ideal circumstance to step into the broken circumstance and declares joy. Why? Why? Because I get to be with them. The scriptures say that Jesus does what he did looking forward to joy. It says it specifically about him going to the cross and stepping into that circumstance. Let me take you to this passage. It's found in the book of Hebrews. It says this, it says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I think the joy that he's talking about there is exactly the same joy that you hear the angels talking about, and it's not circumstantial, it's relational. And God says, no, I'm going to give up. I'm going to give up the circumstance so that I can have the relationship. Because joy isn't about the stuff or the situation. It's about connection. And at the heart of Christmas is this message. At the heart of Christmas is this lesson. Is this lesson. That joy is all about relationship. It's actually captured in one of the names that Jesus is given, one of the names that's used as Jesus is coming onto the scene. Let me take you to this passage in Matthew, and in this situation, Joseph is working through what's happening with Mary, and the angel's talking to him, and as he's talking to him, he says something very interesting. He says, but after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him what? They will call him Emmanuel. As we walk through Christmas, you'll hear this word from time to time in the songs that we sing. This word Emmanuel means just this. It means this, God with us. The entire message of Christmas is this, joy. Joy is found, not in the circumstance, in the relationship. And the reason that the angel, as he comes to the shepherd, says joy isn't because the circumstance is going to change. It's because God stepped out of the ideal circumstance and stepped into yours and stepped into mine so that we could have a relationship with him. So that we could know that there's not a moment of our lives that God is not with us. And he teaches us that joy is not about presence. Joy is not about the things that we can give. Joy is actually about presence. And the fact that Christmas morning he made it possible for us to know his presence in our lives every day, no matter where we are. And he teaches us to look at joy in an entirely new way, to engage it in an entirely new way, to recognize that one of the greatest gifts that you can give is your presence. One of the greatest gifts that you can give is relationship. That joy is found in the midst of relationship. And here's the thing. We know this. As a matter of fact, even as we're talking about this, some of you are like, yeah, that's true. But at the same time, we're constantly pursuing all these other things. And we live our lives concerned about all these other things and the circumstances, the situation, and we're constantly working on. Even as we move through Christmas, we become consumed with the event, and we're doing this. And we constantly move past one another, and we miss actually being present to one another. We miss actually being present with him. And it usually doesn't hit us until it's too late. And it's actually when it's too late that we recognize where joy's actually found. Because we get trapped. We get sucked up into this idea that it's found in that couch or this situation or all of these different things. But the truth is this, and here's how you can see it. And here's when we usually experience it. Okay, you lose the car and it hurts a little bit. You lose your job and it hurts a little bit more. But when you lose your dad, or you lose your mom, or you lose your friend, well, that's something very different, isn't it? Why? Because joy is actually found in relationship. It's actually found in connection and community. And so Jesus gives up the circumstance. Because he wanted to be with you. And he wanted to be with me. Let me ask you something. Who would you do that for? Who would you do that for? And somebody say, well, what do you mean? I couldn't do that. I mean, I don't have glory. Here's the thing. In terms of the rest of the world, you have a tremendous amount. In terms of the rest of the world, our circumstances and situations are really, really good, even if we're struggling here. It's amazing all that we've been given. Let me ask you something. Who would you step out of that for? You say, well, I don't even know what that would look like. Let me give you an example. One of my heroes is someone named Anna. Not my wife. She's also a hero of mine. But there's another Anna, and she's a part of an organization called Enable the Children, and they work with special needs kids in Sierra Leone. And several years ago, Anna found herself in a situation where she had come kind of hoping to just pass through that area. She had come to this area and realized that there was no one working with special needs kids in the entire country. Most of the kids were taken out to the countryside and left for dead. Most of them were considered to be cursed or in some way, shape, or form contagious. And so they literally were just left for dead. And the reality is, Anna realized, I'm not going to be able to magically change the circumstance. I'm not going to be able to eliminate this problem. So Anna made a choice. She decided to give up everything that she knew and the circumstances that she enjoyed to be what? To be with them. A couple of weeks ago, I had the opportunity to be at a refugee camp in Greece. It's called Moria. 15,000 refugees in a camp that was designed to house 800 people. Do you hear those numbers? One's a lot bigger than the other one. And as I was there and interacting with the people who worked there, it blew me away because I kept meeting individual after individual after individual who realized I can't change the circumstance. So they gave up their circumstances to be with them. Just last week, I met another person who's doing the same thing. We have a couple in our church who's, over the next year, going to be doing the same thing. Because they've experienced this about who Jesus is, that he did this for them. Let me ask you, who would you do that for? And some of you are saying, man, I don't know if I'd do that. I don't know if I'd do that for anyone. I mean, you'd have to really, really love someone to do that, wouldn't you? Yeah. And that's what he did for you. You'd have to really, really, really love someone to do that, wouldn't you? So why do you keep doubting that he loves you? He gave up the circumstance because he wanted to be with you. And the scriptures say that as we step into a relationship with him, that his spirit is with us all the time, that he is present in our lives all the time. And as we move through this month, I want to challenge you. Don't allow the event of Christmas to rob you of that. Don't allow the event of Christmas to rob you of God's presence in your life. Don't allow the event to keep you from experiencing that. Don't allow it to keep you from taking that time to be present to him and experiencing his presence in your life, making that time in your day to be able to go and just say, God, I'm here to be present to you, interacting with his word, engaging him in prayer. Don't allow the event to rob you of that. So often the busyness of Christmas keeps us from the presence of God and is the gift of Christmas. And if we're going to get back to the simple power of Christmas, we have to make sure that the event doesn't rob us of the gift. And the gift is his presence in our lives. So I want to challenge you as you look at the weeks ahead. Yeah, it's going to be busy. But as you make your way through this season, as you see that Christmas tree and all the different places that you go, for you to be able to remember every time you see that tree, the present that you've been given, and that is God's presence, for it to constantly remind you that, no, I need to make sure that I experience his presence. I need to make sure that I don't get caught up in the event. And believing that the joy is going to come from the circumstance, the situation, or the party, that I understand that, no, the joy is found in relationship. And making sure that you experience that with him as you move through this Christmas. But it doesn't just speak to our experience of his presence, does it? It also speaks to the gift that we get to give to one another. It instructs what it is that we think we get to bring into the lives of the people around us. And the reality is that we constantly have the opportunity to decide whether we're going to embrace the circumstance or whether we're going to actually be present to one another. It's amazing to me how often we get caught up in the circumstances and the situation, and so we get really, really mad at people for messing up the event. And rather than actually being present to one another, we're just moving past one another in order to be able to pull off the event and make everything happen. And I think as God steps into our lives, And he teaches us about, okay, where's the joy actually found? Not only should it impact our relationship with him, but it should drastically impact the way that we look at our time with one another. And as we go into this Christmas to say, no, I'm gonna be present to the people around me. And I'm gonna make sure that I take the time. And I put aside the to-do list, and I put aside the phone, and I put aside... And it's interesting, because on one hand, you look at it, and you think, man, it's such a big deal, like I'm gonna give up my circumstances to go be present to the refugees, but we get small chances to do that all the time, like when I'm sitting at home in my chair, and I know that my kids are playing, and I have the opportunity to be present with my kids, or I have the opportunity to stay in my chair. And in that moment, everything inside of me says, stay in your chair. It's gonna be a lot better if you stay in your chair. But to be like him is to, in the little ways, in the big ways, is to let go of the circumstance and to strive over and over again to connect, to love, to share, to be present to one another. May we, as we move through the next couple of weeks, may we experience, enjoy, soak in his presence in our lives. And may that constantly fuel our desire and our commitment to be present to those around us. Will you pray with me? Father, it's unbelievable to me that Christmas morning, you gave up all the circumstances. You gave up the greatest of situations. Because you wanted to be present with us. I pray that as we move through the next couple of weeks, that we would constantly be reminded over and over again of Emmanuel, that this truth that you are with us, that you have given us the greatest gift we could ever be given. And whether it's situations when we feel alone or whether it's in situations where we're in the midst of the party, that we would constantly remind ourselves and call us back to this truth that no, you are present with us. That you are always present with us. And then may we, as we experience that in you, may we bring that to those around us. May we be present to them, loving, engaging, celebrating them as we remember and we celebrate you. In Jesus' name, amen.